Very good morning to all of you. Our text for this morning is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 17 to 18. Right from the first temptation in the Garden of Eden, Satan, the adversary, the devil, he has been locked in spiritual warfare against the saints, against this world. His objectives are very simple. And he knows that he's headed to hell. He knows that his fate is sealed. But what he wants is that as many people as possible to join him. And so he will go out and he will try to stop anyone who is doing the work of God, anyone who is advancing the kingdom of heaven, anyone who is furthering the cause of Christ, preaching the word, preaching the gospel. They will be his targets. And so he goes around as what the Bible says, like a roaring lion. He roams about the earth. He walks about seeking whom he may devour. That is his objective. That is his purpose. And he has under him a host of demons, of the fallen angels that fell together with him. And they will all go about, and they will all try to continually thwart God's attempts and God's will and God's work on this earth. Who are his targets? His targets will be those who are doing a good work for the Lord. You and me, saints, believers, churches, Christians, faithful Bible colleges and seminaries, all these who are preaching the word of God. As long as you are doing the work of God, you become the target of Satan. Why? Because if we are not doing the work of God, if we are not preaching the full gospel, if we are not bringing people into the kingdom of heaven, then he will not need to bother with you because you are not doing anything in opposition to the devil. In fact, you could possibly be helping him. But if you are serving the Lord faithfully, if you are doing a good work, then you become his target. And that is what this Christian spiritual warfare, this struggle is all about. Fighting against the wiles of the devil. And as we memorize just now for the scripture reading as well, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. It is not a physical earthly battle that we're talking about here. The topic is a spiritual warfare. And spiritual in what sense? We wrestle against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And these speak all about the hierarchy, the ranks of Satan and his minions. That is the warfare that we are all involved in. And we have to realize this as we go through our Christian life. We cannot say that, yes, I'm saved and I'm a Christian, but I don't want to be part of this fight. No, all have been called into this fight. Every one of us. The moment you call yourself a Christian, the moment you start serving the Lord and do a work for Christ, you become a target and you have to defend yourself. You have to be watchful, be vigilant, be sober, because the evil one, Satan, he can attack any time. And this is how Paul realized, what Paul realized about his own ministry as well. As we study through the book of 1 Thessalonians, we know that he was there for a few weeks in Thessalonica. He preached for 3 Sabbaths and that's all. And soon after that, when he began to have converts, people began to believe in the gospel that he was preaching, Satan attacked. And he was chased out of Thessalonica and he tried very hard to come back, but he couldn't. And so as Paul writes to them in verse 17 to verse 18, he shares with them that, hey, you know, all these conflicts that we have been facing, all my attempts to come back and join you, it is not just between the Jews and the rulers of Thessalonica and me. It is not just a physical confrontation between us. It is spiritual. As you go on to say, Satan hindered us. It was not the Jews that hindered us. He talked about the evil men in the previous verses. That's what we studied last week. Yes, they were doing all these things, but behind all this, Satan was the one working. Satan was the one fighting. Satan was the one leading this spiritual warfare on the other side. And so therefore, he wanted to point out to the believers at Thessalonica that we have to see this world and all these conflicts through these spiritual eyes. Just as we are spiritual people, our ministry, our service is all spiritual as well. And therefore, the conflicts, the warfare that we are faced with is also spiritual. And so as we study through these two verses, we can begin to understand a bit more about the nature of this spiritual warfare that we are all engaged in. It's a battle that we all part of. We cannot fall out. We cannot say, oh, I want to stop, I want to rest. No, it is a continual battle, and we must all take up arms as Christian soldiers to fight for the Lord. And so what was happening here at Thessalonica? As we know, there were this opposition, and that's what he described in verse 17. He says, we brethren being taken from you for a short time in presence. He alludes back to the account that you can read of in Acts chapter 17. And it told us of how he went into Thessalonica, but very soon the Jews and the rulers of Thessalonica wanted him out. They accused him of these Christians turning the world upside down. And they began to make some arrests amongst his converts. And so by night they had to sneak out, they had to go out, lest they be caught and arrested as well. And so this is the first thing that we see Satan doing. God's work is hindered. That is what he will do. He will hinder the work of God in this spiritual warfare. Paul was doing a good work. He had started to receive converts. He had started to... People were starting to believe in the Lord. And we know from the rest of this book, of 1 Thessalonica, that these converts were true converts. Many of them started to serve, and we saw that in chapter 1. How from them sounded out the gospel in power in the Holy Ghost and to all the regions around in Macedonia, in Achaia. They were doing a good work for the Lord Jesus Christ. And Satan knew it. And as soon as he saw that Paul was receiving converts, there were faithful servants of the Lord, they were starting to preach the gospel as well, he knew that he had to strike, he had to attack. That has always been Satan's purpose, isn't it? To hinder the work of God. Anywhere in this world, any church that is preaching faithfully, where men and women are being saved, and men and women are starting to serve, Satan would be there to hinder, to stop, to prevent. And so that's what happened to Paul. And you know, as Paul writes here, he's not complaining or lamenting. He said, yes, it's true, I was falsely taken out of your city against my will. But what he was saying, what he was writing here now was to assure them. Quite possibly, further opposition had arisen amongst the church. Maybe there were some spreading rumors, dissension amongst them to say, oh, Paul doesn't care about you anymore. You see, Paul has gone. And where is he? He was here just for 3 weeks, and well, what has become of him? Maybe they were questioning his motives as to why he was even there in the first place. That's why as you read through chapter 2, you can see many of these, defense of his ministry that Paul would try to give, where he said, as you know, as you remember, ye were witnesses, and not just you, but God also. He says, hey, remember the ministry that I had amongst you? I was there, I was sincere. I was not here with any malice or any sort of guile. No, I was here just to please God. That was my ministry. And me being taken away from you, this is again against my will. This is not what I wanted. In fact, I wanted to stay there as long as possible to try to continue to preach the word to you. Because, well, 3 Sundays is not enough. I needed more time. And that's why as he writes this epistle to them, he'll later on go and share that, you know, I really want to come back to you. For what reason? Chapter 3, verse 10 tells us that night and day he is praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. That was his desire. As a humble, as a faithful minister and servant of the Lord, he says, my desire for you is always that I can stay and I can help you. I can continue to preach the word of God. But he was not allowed to. And so his writing to them now is to remind, to assure them that, hey, I know that I am in this spiritual warfare. Do not be alarmed. Do not be concerned. Do not be disheartened. My desire is that I'll return, but Satan is the one trying to hinder our service. And as we consider this, this is what we have to realize about our own service as well. When we are doing a work for the Lord, when our church is faithful, when our Bible college is faithful, we will become a target of Satan's attack. He is not pleased when people are being saved. He is not pleased when a Christian begins to take up ministry, begins to preach the word. He is not pleased when more and more people are called into the kingdom of heaven. And he will try all ways and means to prevent that. Like Paul, he thought, well, if Paul remains at Thessalonica, more people will be saved. And so he thought, let us drag Paul out of Thessalonica. Of course, we know that Satan's attempts were never successful because Paul, from leaving Thessalonica, he went on to Berea and other cities where he will continue to preach the gospel. And because of the power of the Word of God, because of the power of the Holy Spirit, the church at Thessalonica also began to grow and to prosper without the presence of the Apostle Paul. Yes, there may have been certain things that was lacking in their faith, certain things that they didn't understand full well. And so he had to write 1st and 2nd Thessalonians to try to correct some misconceptions that they had. But nonetheless, God's work continued, despite the attacks, despite this warfare that Satan was trying to wage against them. For us, what do we have to do? It's simple. We just remain faithful, isn't it? We have to realize and understand that there will be these attacks. Sometimes we serve, and then opposition comes our way. We serve, and then there are problems, and there are trials, there are conflicts. And then we cry out, we lament unto God and say, why? I just want to serve you quietly, peacefully. I just want to do your will, and I just want to do my part for you. But the moment I stop serving, all these problems come my way. Obstacles, oppositions. What is our response to all these things? Will we get discouraged? Will we cry out and say, well, what's the point then? If I serve and I have to face problems and trials and conflicts? Because you realize that if you respond in such a way, this is exactly Satan's desire. He wants you to be discouraged. He wants you to throw in the towel and say, I give up. I don't want to serve anymore. I don't want to preach the gospel. I don't want to do all these things because all I get in return is mock, scorn. People laugh at me. And that is the second idea that we see. He will do all he can to hinder the work of God. And in so doing, his desire is that God's servants will be discouraged. God's servants will be discouraged. You see, Paul later goes on to say, we were taken from you a short time, but he makes a distinction. It was in presence only, but not in heart. Not in heart. What he means here is to say that, yes, I may be physically separated from you, but I still care very much for you. I'm still praying for you. I have this great care and concern for you. I want to know what's going on. And that's what he further went on to describe in chapter 3. That he says, you know, as I waited at Corinth, I wanted to hear news of how this young church at Thessalonica was coming about. He says, I could no longer forbear. I couldn't take it anymore. And I sent Timothy to go and find out what was happening amongst your church. And that was his desire. And he goes on to say in verse 17 of our text for this morning, I endeavored the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. What we see here is really the heart of Paul. He really loved the church. He really loved the people. And love in the sense where not just a social call, I just want to be with you, you know, so that we can have our common interests and have good time together. No. He says, no, that I can come and I can serve in amongst you. I can preach the word to you. I can share with you more things from the word of God. That is why I had such a great desire, more abundantly, so much more so, I have this great, huge desire to see your face. That was Paul. You know, as much as he recognized that this was a spiritual warfare, his response to that is that he was not discouraged at all. A lesser person, someone who does not have such a strong faith, someone who maybe doesn't fully understand the nature of this spiritual warfare, if he was in the shoes of Paul, he would have been discouraged and he would have succumbed to the wiles of the devil. He recognized, though, Paul, that this is the hindrance of Satan. Satan is the one hindering us. And so, although I have been separated from you in presence, it is not in heart. I am not giving up. No. I still have this great desire to be in with you. I still have this great desire to serve and to teach you. And so that is how he was able to overcome. You know, all these persecutions that Paul faced, It was not something very light or very easy. He may have described it as that. He said, these are but light afflictions. But if you go through the gospel, you go through the book of Acts, you read through his epistles of how he was imprisoned, how he was whipped, how he was shipwrecked, how he was robbed, how he went through so many different trials, obstacles, and problems. Anyone who did not have such strong faith would have given up a long, long time ago. You say, what's the point? I go to one city, I just stay there for 3 weeks, and then I'm chased out by authorities. I go to another city, and it carries on. But we realize that this is the nature of spiritual warfare, isn't it? This is the battle that we are all facing. Christ never promised us that being a Christian, being a saint, will be a bed of roses, that we will just have a relaxing time all the rest of the days of our lives. No, that was not what was promised. He says that if you live righteously, if you live godly, you will suffer persecution. He says, don't be surprised, because the world hated me, your master, and what more for you, my disciples? This is what you are going to face, persecution, trials, troubles, all sorts of things. The moment you start serving the Lord, the moment the devil sees and knows that you are doing a work for Christ, I remind you again, you become a target. And from his attacks, what he wants is that you will be discouraged. Now, this is one main form of attack from the devil, right? Persecution. Trying to make you discouraged and turn away from the faith. Of course, there is another large aspect of spiritual warfare, and that is temptation. And that is not what we have in our text this morning. That's not what we're going to discuss. But realize that there are these two huge main aspects. On one hand, he will try to bring all these cares of that world, the deceitfulness of riches, and try to draw you away through sin from serving the Lord. But what we are here seeing is this aspect of temptation, of persecution, of putting you through all these trials, difficulties, making service so hard and so distasteful that you just don't want to do it anymore. Well, we have to realize that this is the will of God. God wants us to be in it. God wants us to try and to continue to persevere, to do all we can to serve Him, because we are His chosen vessels. We are the people. We have been the ones given the privilege of God's messengers here on earth to spread His word. We have the word of God in our hands, and we are commanded to go forth and spread the gospel. And so that is the persecution, that is the problems that Paul was facing. This was the same sort of attack that Job would face, as we read off in the book of Job, where he will make his life so difficult that he will respond and say, let us just curse God and die. That was how his wife responded, isn't it? Just curse God and die. What's the point of remaining faithful when life gets so difficult? But Paul recognized, no, this is the nature of spiritual warfare. We will not be discouraged. And he wrote to the church at Thessalonica to remind and assure them as well. And you should not be discouraged as well. Yes, there will be all these evil men, and they will try to do all that they can, forbidding us to preach, to speak to the Gentiles. He says, this is what we are all in. This is the physical, this is the spiritual warfare that we are all in. So we have to ask ourselves, am I being discouraged by what we see all around us? You know, in the past years, we have been facing a lot of problems in the church. Trials, difficulties. And some members have lamented and said, well, what's the point? Why must we always keep fighting? Why must there always be so much conflict in the church? Shouldn't there be peace and love to go around? Christians shouldn't be disunited. And that is true. What God wants for us is unity. But what we also recognize is that this warfare that we are facing, these fights, these troubles, these trials, it's spiritual in nature. It's spiritual in nature. And what is our response to it? Will we be discouraged? There have been people that have left the church. They say, I don't want to be in a church where, you know, it's filled with so many problems, filled with so many struggles and fightings. I just want to go to a quiet, peaceful church. Well, there is a way to get a quiet, peaceful church. when we no longer contend for the faith, we no longer fight for the Lord, where we all, you know, hand in our weapons, raise the white flag and say, we surrender. We are not going to be involved in this spiritual warfare anymore. Let's not preach the gospel. Let's not preach the word. Let us just focus on the non-contentious issues. Let us just live in peace. Well, if that is the sort of church we want, if that is the sort of ministry that you want to be engaged in, sure, by all means. But the ministry of the Lord, it is one wrought with this spiritual warfare. Many people have fallen to the wiles of the devil. Many people have capitulated. The question is, will we fall back as well? Will we retreat and say, I don't want to fight anymore? Many of us are like that. We are averse to conflict, right? We just want to have that quiet, peaceful life. But recognize that the language of the Bible is often a language of warfare, of fighting, of battles. Not just in this passage, but so many other passages. We see this spiritual warfare being described for us, like the memory verse we had just now about this wrestle against flesh and blood. But so many other instances as well, where Paul tells Timothy that you be a good soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you endure hardness, that you have to put on the whole armor of God, and all these numerous other commands about the nature of spiritual warfare. What are these here for? It is to encourage us in our walk with the Lord, encourage us in our service, encourage us in our ministry, that we do not stand down, we do not stand back, but we continue to press on and to persevere. And that's how Paul, that's the nature of Paul, writing to the church at Thessalonica as well. He says, no, I was not discouraged, but ever more so, I had this great desire to see you, to go back and to continue serving in amongst you. But the final thing that we notice about this spiritual warfare is that it will be relentless, continual. It will keep going and going and going, and it will not stop. That's what we see in verse 18. Wherefore we would come again, we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again. But Satan hindered us. Satan hindered us. He says, and after I left, it's not that I didn't want to come back. I tried again and again. And if you see this word endeavored in verse 17, it carries this idea of a concerted effort, a diligent effort. It's something that he didn't just try once or twice and then give up. No, he tried again and again and again. But as much as he tried, Satan's hindrances came over and over again as well. Exactly what the nature of these obstacles, we do not know. Whether it was physical, whether it was some sort of real restraint that he had, or was spiritual nature, we do not know. But what he does say here is that Satan would hinder us, stop us, prevent us. Again and again. Once and twice, that's what it means here. I tried, I kept trying to come because of this great desire that I had. But each time that I tried, Satan would come and stop me, prevent me. That's what we have to realize about the nature of this spiritual warfare as well. It is continual. It is relentless. It is something that we cannot ever stop and give up on. In response, we, of course, have to persevere. Keep on going. Keep on going. When we are in a war, if we are facing a war, say a physical warfare, and you know that the enemy is not resting, you know that he is going about, he is roaming about, always on the lookout, always trying to come in. What is our response? Can we afford to stand at the guard post and then fall asleep? We know we cannot, right? We have to remain alert, aware, always on guard. That is the nature of our spiritual warfare as well. When we know that Satan's attacks will be relentless, that he will keep trying every way and mean to attack us. Today it may be this particular attack. It may be doctrinal in nature. But the next day, he may come from another angle, an angle that we are not prepared of. Are we going to stand? We have to realize that it is a continual warfare. And as Christian soldiers, what we have to do is to always be watchful, be sober, be vigilant. Especially when we are least expecting it. Sometimes we will fight. Yes, we will fight. There will be a great trial, a great conflict that comes our way. Like maybe what the church has been facing in the past few years. And yes, we were faithful in our prayers. we were, we really got to know the issue well, and we fought for the Lord. We stood our ground, and we say, no, I will not back down. I will not give up. But then, just as it seems that the conflict is dying down, and just as everything seems to return back to normal, you know, this is the time where we will drop our guard, isn't it? We will think, well, all is well. The battle has been fought, has been won. But that is when the attack will come again. That is how we have to, that is what we have to realize about this battle. That we cannot be complacent. We have to constantly be vigilant, be aware of the nature of this attack. This, you know, when I was in national service, a lot of times we wanted to try to, you know, get as much leave and off as possible, always asking, you know, can we have a night's off tonight? Can we take off tomorrow? Can we have, you know, apply for leave in this week and that week? Because we wanted to spend as least amount of time as possible in the camp and in the army, and wanted to have as much freedom as possible. But one thing that my platoon sergeant always reminded us, every time we went to ask him for off or leave, he will always come back with this line. He will say, you know what you know what you all are? You are NSFs, National Servicemen, full-time. And you will have this great emphasis on the word full-time. You are there all the time. You know, you're off this leave that you claim to want. It is not your right. It is not your entitlement. Well, of course, we disagreed at that point of time. But that is for, of course, the service to the nation. Not all of us will enjoy it. But we are all in the service to the Lord. And you say, well, I'm not full-time. I'm not called to the full-time ministry. But that does not mean you are not part of this spiritual warfare. No, you are. The moment you have been saved, the moment you have been called to serve the Lord in one area or other, all of us ought to be serving because we are saved to serve. And this service now is a full-time service. Every day of your lives, every area, everywhere that you go, not just in church, but every day of your lives, at work, at home, at school, at play, you are involved in this spiritual warfare, like it or not, whether you realize it or not. Yes, you may have a quiet life. Perhaps is that because you are not serving the Lord? You are not going out to be a witness and a testimony for Him? If that's the case, then maybe your life will be quiet. But if you are out there, consciously and always looking for opportunities where I can be a shining light for the Lord, where I can be a witness for Him, then you become a target. And He can attack you anywhere. In church, yes. When you serve in committees, when you serve in whatever group, there will be conflicts, interpersonal conflicts, people against people. Are we going to be discouraged? We will try and organize events, and then there'll be all these obstacles and hindrances that come our way. Things that we never expected, they just crop up at the last minute. How are we going to respond? We try to spread the news, spread the word of God, spread the gospel to our friends, our colleagues, our classmates. And then all we get in response is a very lackluster one, or worse still, a negative, a confrontation that we may have, where they scold us and they get angry at us for trying to tell them the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, how will we respond? Realize that all this is part of the spiritual warfare. It is not just physical in nature. It is not just about a person who is upset with you. Behind the scenes, Satan is working. Satan is working. And even Christians can become a tool of Satan in this spiritual warfare. We saw that in the example of Peter when Jesus said to him, "Get thee behind me what? Satan, you're my adversary. You are opposing me when you tell me not to go to Jerusalem because this is the will of God. And when you tell me not to go, you have become an adversary. You have become Satan. Because you are hindering the work of God. You are trying to discourage me from the work that I know I need to do." That is what we have to realize. You know, in the burning bush that was released a number of weeks ago, what we saw is this article about the numerous crises that have happened in the BP church from its founding until now. And we see this article telling us that throughout the years, there have been opposition after opposition, attack after attack, problem after problem that crept into the church. And when we read these articles, what should our response be? Instead of being discouraged and thinking, well, what's wrong with the BP Church? Why is it always facing all these problems? Realize again that this is all, again, part of the spiritual warfare that we are facing. It is an affirmation. It is a good sign. Telling us and encouraging us that, hey, we are on the right track. We are serving the Lord. And Satan chooses to look upon this church, this whole ministry, as a target that he wants to attack. And so we see the testimony of our late founder, Reverend Timothy Toh. He was involved in the midst of all these attacks. But what we see is his tireless, humble service, where he faced wave after wave of Satan's attacks. What did he do? He never backed down. He never retreated. He stood his ground and he remained faithful. And read the article for yourself of how, even as he founded the Far Eastern Bible College, within the first few years, there were so many detractors, so many people that were opposed to his work, even amidst the session of the church. And they say, what's the point? Oh, you just have 3 students and now you're left with 1. Should you continue the work? Let's shut down the Bible College. And then further on, in not many years after, there came this other problem in the late 60s, where he stood his ground, he contended for the faith, and he objected to involvement in the Billy Graham Crusades that came in the late 60s. Again, what did he do? There were people that were opposed to him, people who said, oh, let us just cooperate, let us join in. It is a good work. But he recognized the spiritual nature of the warfare. And again, there was a dissensual spirit that arose amongst the session, amongst the synod. Different churches had different opinions. And again, he was put down, and he had to retreat he was pushed away out of the church for a few months. He had to go to Israel. And again, in the late 80s, there was the problem of fundamentalism versus liberalism. There was neo-evangelicalism that crept into the church. People who say, well, aesthetic utterances, well, these are quite okay if used in private worship. And all these came to hit and resulted in the split of the synod. But the worst and the most difficult attack, I believe, comes in the last 10 years when the issue of Bible versions and preservation of Bible arose. Again, opposition from even within his own church. And at that old age, he had to leave the church. He was forced out of the church, being oppressed. And he started True Life Bible Presbyterian Church. What do we think of all these things when we look at this man? We say, well, seems like a failure of his ministry, isn't it? He's pastored a church for 50 over years, and then at the end of it, they pushed him out. Is that how we consider it? Will we be discouraged, looking and seeing all the problems? And even in the past 10 years that our church has faced, that the Far Eastern Bible College has faced as well. What should our response be? As I said earlier, this is an affirmation, isn't it? A confirmation from the Lord that you are serving the Lord. And you ought to then persevere and continue in the work that you are in. Do not give up. Do not lament and cry and say, well, why must we face so much problem when we are serving the Lord? No, this is all part of it. This is part of this warfare that we are all called in to contend for. Satan will never stop. Right now, in these past few years, this may be the conflict that we are in, facing. The question of the preservation of the Bible. But how about in the years to come? The next decade or the next 20 years? Will another problem arise? In fact, will more problems arise? Many problems arise? And how are we going to respond to each and every one of these attacks? We can choose to just throw our hands in the air and say, well, let's not fight anymore. Let's not strive anymore. Let's not serve the Lord anymore. Or we can buckle down and we can strive and contend for the faith. We can stand on the side of the Lord and say, is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? Like how David stood against Goliath. And we should say, yes, I will stand on the Lord's side. And I will fight for him. That is the duty that we have all been called to be Christian soldiers for the Lord. And so Paul, as he stood his ground, he continued to contend for the faith. He fought for the word of God. And we can see the evidence throughout his ministry, not just here in this incident at Thessalonica, but throughout all the days of his life. He was a Christian soldier, never backing down, but always contending for the faith. At the very end of his life, he says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished my course. I have contended all the days of my life. I have seen and recognized this whole spiritual warfare I'm in. And I have fought the good fight. That is what we have to be able to say at the end of our own lives as well. Is I never back down. I recognize that God, that Satan was trying to hinder me, but I was never discouraged. I persevered. I was faithful to the very end. And this, I hope, is the desire of every one of us, that as we serve the Lord, as we do all we can for Him, may we all be found faithful to the very end. It's a great privilege and honor to be counted worthy, to suffer for the Lord's sake, to fight for the Lord. That's what the disciples said as they were thrown into prison and then later released. Now, that's what we have to recognize as well. You know, in any warfare, in any battle, who gets placed at the front lines? Who is the one to always lead the vanguard of the assault? Is it not always the crack infantry soldiers? It is the best troops, the commandos that will always go forward and be the front lines. Well, we want to be counted worthy, to be placed at the very forefront of the attack, to be the ones fighting for the Lord. And I pray and hope that this is the desire of every one of us, that we will be Christian soldiers fighting for our Lord. Let us turn to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy word. We thank Thee for this spiritual warfare that Thou hast called all of us into. We pray that Thou help us to recognize and see and know the nature of this battle that we are all in, to never be discouraged, to never step back, to retreat, but always to contend for the faith, to always stand by Thy side, and to always be faithful in our service for Thee. We pray for every one of us here that Thou will help us to endure hardness as a good soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray for our church as well, and also for the Far Eastern Bible College, that Thou will help us always to remain steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And at the end of all, we can say, I have fought the good fight as well. We thank Thee and praise Thee for this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.